The Health Fix Podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, and today I have Farrah Green on the line. We are going to be talking about body positivity. We're going to be talking about all things body and goodness, but I have to give you a little background on her first. So she is the founder of the Thick, Bold, and Healthy coaching programs, and we're going to talk about that too, so just hold on tight here. She's also the host of the Body of Gold podcast, which was so gracious to let me come on, so we are bringing her on The Health Fix, and she is the author of 12 Steps to Your Body of Gold, and we're going to talk a little bit about that book today too. Farrah, welcome to The Health Fix.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Girl, let's start talking about this book of yours. So 12 steps, it kind of sounds like a 12-step amazingness program. So where did you come up with the idea? Give us the breakdown. Give us your story.
Yeah, so I came up with 12 Steps to Your Body of Gold. I always wanted to be an author because initially my background is in journalism and I studied public health. And so when I started my podcast called The Body of Gold Podcast, I said, you know, people need like a guide. They need to learn how to really, you know, dig deep and understand all the underlying issues as to why they're not necessarily reaching their health and wellness goals. And so with The Body of Gold Podcast, I talk about a variety of different topics, but specifically, I really wanted women to recognize that the reason why you're not reaching your health goals is because you do have all these underlying issues. And so I said, you know what? Let me create a book that's a guide, is a quick read, but it also gives you assignments after each chapter. And it's basically going through the 12 steps on how to become the woman that you ultimately want to become when it comes to your health. So, you know, gold is seen as like this amazing thing, this, you know, it's on a pedestal, and 12 steps to your body of gold, it just sounded great, honestly. And basically in the book it gives you the 12 steps that you need to reach your health and wellness goals, but not only that, it teaches you how to heal, most importantly, because we all have a lot of like internal issues that we're dealing with. And it's teaching you throughout the 12 steps how to identify those issues and how to resolve them on your own.
I love it. And the fact that you have homework. So yeah. Every step, you've got to do some work. You got to put in the work.
Yes. So a lot of times when you receive or you buy or you purchase a self-help book or a health and wellness book, oftentimes you read the book and you're like, great, this is valuable information. I'm going to apply it. But then you often don't know where to start. You don't know how to implement it. You don't know how to stick with it. And so I decided with the 12 Steps to Your Body of Gold book that it's important that I not only give you the guidelines and strategies and tools that you need to become more whole and to love yourself more and to reach your goals. But I need you to do the work as you're going through the process, as you're going throughout the 12 steps, as you're going through this journey. And once you read each chapter, there's a series of questions that I ask you after each and every chapter to get your memory, you know, jogging, to get, you know, writing down your goals or to answer just certain questions. For example, like question one in the first chapter, because the first chapter is called You Must Admit, right? You must admit. And then one of the questions in the first chapter was, you know, describe your body in three words and describe what you dislike about your body. So it's kind of forcing you to recognize where your insecurities are, you know, and I feel like that's very important because weight loss doesn't solve insecurities. We all should know that. And so if we can like figure out what's keeping us and what's hindering us from reaching our health goals and, you know, just overall trying to better ourselves, then we will be there. But we're not. So I have to get people to think, think long and hard. One of my readers already told me, she was like, I already stumbled on the first question, Farrah. It's going to, you know, have me thinking. It's supposed to. That's the point. Because at the end of the book, what you'll find is that you will then have a plan, a health and wellness plan that you created yourself and that fits your lifestyle. And that's what's most important.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Because I think the biggest thing here is a lot of people don't buy into plans because one, they're buying into someone else's philosophy.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not putting the work in that's going to fit for them. So being able to go through, find out like, okay, yeah, what is your insecurity? And then create, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I had to, you know, really think long and hard, like, how can I help, you know, more of these women? I really had to think long and hard and figure out how can I help more women realize that they're worthy, that they should love themselves wholeheartedly, and that they should make their health and themselves a priority. Because oftentimes we're constantly taking care of other people, but we don't know how to take care of ourselves. And if we don't know how to take care of ourselves, how can we expect to love and take care of the people that are around us? It's almost impossible.
Oh my God.
And then somewhere along the lines, you're falling short. And oftentimes it's everything. You're falling short when it comes to your health. You're falling short when it comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not giving yourself y'all.
It's so true. So true. I think I saw on a post on Instagram the other day something about the same kind of concept, but they twisted it just a little bit in terms of what are you avoiding by taking care of everyone else and not taking care of yourself. So I think that's also like just a huge thing. Why are us ladies so twisted in the head? What happened?
I think it's more so we were put on this earth. We was put on this earth to really be the nurturer and provide for our families, not in a sense of financials or not in a sense of that. I mean, we have some strong women that are like that now. But oftentimes the provider is seen more as the man, right? But us women, we're seen as the nurturer. We have to nurture those that are around us. We must take care of those that are around us. We are known to be the backbone also too when it comes to the male that's in our household. And I think that's really where it stems from. We're known to put our kids first, our husbands first, our spouses first, our partners first, our parents first, as we also get older, our careers first, because we want to be this, you know, badass, right? We can do it all. We can have it all. But in turn, you find that oftentimes your health is lacking. Your health is lacking. And I could just speak from experience. For me, the reason why I ended up writing this book is because at one point in time, I was going to the gym every single morning at 6 a.m. and I wasn't able to not lose 1 pound. And it wasn't because I wasn't eating right or working out, you know, every day. It was simply because I was putting everything before Farrah. I was putting weight loss, right? This ideal image of what I'm supposed to look like before Farrah. I was putting, you know, my wedding before Farrah. I was putting my career before Farrah, right? So I was putting all these things before myself and I was like, okay, hold on, this has to stop. I need to figure out what's bothering me internally and heal internally and learn how to love myself wholeheartedly. So that's what I think. That's why I think it's not so much that we might avoid it. We might not just don't know. We don't know that we're really having these issues.
No, it's so true. It's so true. I think that for us, you know, as women, we see what mom does. We see what grandma does. We watch what aunts do. And we kind of learn. I was thinking back, you know, when you were saying, you know, what can you admit to yourself and things of that nature. I was thinking back, God, you know, I probably was like 8 years old when I was like stuck in my head that like, oh, grandma's coming to live with us and I need to take care of her. And that's, that's what my mom does. And when my mom's not there, I got to do that. And right. So, wow, like 8 years old. I know we've talked about this before, What do you think on average for most females where we tend to just lose the sense of taking care of ourselves and start to put others forward? What would you say on average?
I say on average, we start to put others forward is maybe around 6th, 7th, or 8th grade. Middle school is around the time where we start to recognize that we are more concerned about other people. And let me just tell you why I say that. Because last week I spoke at a middle school, Ruffner Middle School in Norfolk, Virginia. It's a pretty, you know, rough neighborhood. The statistics are really high when it comes to heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, different chronic illnesses, diet-related chronic illnesses. And one of the girls, one of the young girls that I was working with and doing an activity with the group, I asked her, I was like, you know, what is one of your health goals for this year? And I was so blown away. She was literally probably only in the 7th grade. And, you know, you're only, what, 12? And she said, stop worrying about other people and put myself first.
Wow.
And it was this little girl. She had a very like timid voice, but you can tell that she has this like strong personality. Like you could tell that she's very outgoing, but one of her goals were to stop worrying about other people and worry about herself. Mind you, I don't know if she got that from what I was teaching her up until that activity that made her say that. But what I was most proud of was the fact that what I was teaching throughout that time, it got her to realize that, okay, I do need to put myself first. Even at a young 12-year-old girl, I need to make myself a priority and stop worrying about other people. And I think a lot of times the reason why we do worry about other people is because the people that's around us are older and they may be going through a chronic illness. And during that time in the classroom, as I was speaking and teaching, one of the questions that I asked everyone in the room, I said, step forward and raise your hand if you know someone who's struggling with a diet-related chronic illness. Each and every young girl in that room, there was about 45 girls in that room. They, all of them stepped forward and raised their hand. And I said, is the person close to you? Is that person close to you? Whether it's your mom, grandma, uncle, whoever, is that person really close to you? And that whole room said yes.
Wow.
And then that's when I realized from that point forward, as I was teaching, for that young girl to have said, stop worrying about other people and put myself first, I said, yeah, this is that age, 12, 11, 13, where you really start to realize like, okay, other people are starting to need me. My grandmother's starting to need me because she's struggling. My mom may be starting to need me because she's struggling. My sister, my siblings, my, you know, other relatives in my family may need me. That is the age. So I say on average, 11 and 12.
Wow. I started a little early, apparently.
Yeah. And that's totally fine. It comes early for some people. It really does.
You know, and then you go into, like you were saying, folks that are struggling with eating related illness. I think a lot of us, I mean, in my world, I was on my first diet by 8 years old because I was looking a little chunky, according to my family, in my little uniform. I went to a Catholic grade school. My belly was hanging out and they were like, oh, you need to work on this. And my mom, you know, she was on a diet every other day. Like it was cabbage soup. It was, good Lord, I don't know, everything, you name it. Boiled eggs, whatever. She was on it. She tried it. And so I was watching this stuff and then I'm trying to take care of her needs sometimes, try to help her, then my grandma. I mean, it was like this cycle of diet craziness.
Yeah.
And you get to the age of like 12 and that in the boys, right? Now we got hormones in boys or girls, whatever. I was worried about boys. People worry about whatever they want to worry about at that stage, but I was worried about what boys thought of me. And then now you got a whole nother level of messing with you. Did you talk to these girls a little bit about that kind of aspect of things in terms of what people that they're interested in think of them?
Yeah, I did a little bit. I harped on it a little bit. I said, you know, how often do you constantly compare yourself to other young girls that you may admire because a male or a little boy have a crush on them instead of having a crush on you. And you're saying, "Ooh, I wish I had her hair. I wish I had her body. I wish I had her personality." You're constantly saying, "I wish I had her, simply because of this male compliment, or simply because you want to be, you want a male to be attracted to you. You want that attention, right?" Mm-hmm. So I did talk about that. I did talk about that a little bit, but I think it honestly just goes back to, if we just start teaching our young girls at a certain age, around 8, mm-hmm. 10, 9, and up, I think if we are able to start teaching them about the importance of body positivity, self-love, and truly knowing who you are, by the time they get older, they'll be beast. You know what I mean? They'll be a beast when it comes to work ethic. You know, they'll be a beast when it comes to confidence and knowing that they're worthy. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, we all have insecurities, even the most confident people, like my girl Beyonce, you know, she definitely does have some insecurities, I'm sure, but it still won't hinder you from being great. It still won't hinder you from putting your health first and becoming the woman that you ultimately want to become, because you started at such a young age. And I too remember watching my mom try different diets, watching my grandma having, you know, 2 heart attacks, you know, watching her take diabetic, you know, medication. You know, I watched my mom over the years struggle with her health, and hence why I'm like such a health freak now. But it's crazy to see how you were brought up and how you were raised to how you see your health now. Like you realize, like, okay, this is why I'm this way. This is why I struggle with these certain things, because all the things that you were doing when you was a little kid is spilled over into your adult life. And that's fine. And most of us don't realize it, but just come to a point where you have to admit that it is time for a change. It is time for you to recognize where you're falling short. And usually it's around that age when you start comparing yourself to little boys and wanting little boys' attention and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh. It is. And God, you know, that's a great class that you're doing, speaking up and talking, because man, I think if we could put some effort into our younger populations and maybe save them a little grief that some of us folks, you know, have had to go through and figure out things on our own. My God, if someone told me all the things that I knew now, like if my 8, 10, 12 year old self knew what, you know, I know now.
Oh, yeah. That's why you have to constantly speak, you know, confidence to these, you know, young ladies and young girls. You have to constantly speak confidence. You have to constantly set the example and be the precedent that they need, you know, so that when they get older, once again, they're a beast. No one can tell them nothing. You know, no one can devalue them because they already know their value. And it all relates back to self-love and health.
Oh, got to bulletproof these girls.
Yes.
Now, let's talk about the self-love and all that stuff, because you have a coaching program. And mm-hmm. I saw that there's a 3, a 6, and a 12-month program where folks can work with you. And they get one-on-one time and they get certain amounts of check-ins and things of that nature. Now, are you finding that with your coaching program that folks need more, let's say, not necessarily the word coaching, but like pep talks, which I guess is coaching. I don't know what I'm trying to say. But like, do you find that you get someone to read your book, you know, that's in the program, and you're like, okay, let's go through this. Let's step up. I'm going all in circles here. I'm going to erase what I just said and go.
Okay.
Are you finding with getting through programs with folks reading your book, are folks just getting stuck at the admit stage, or where are we getting hung up the most within the book where we're like, oh crap, you know, there's this issue or that issue. What do you think? What's happening?
Yeah, I think for the most part, people know for the most part, people know already what they're struggling with. So they're like, okay, I'm going to admit that I need to work on this, that I need to get better at this, that this and this and this is a problem. For the most part, they get that part. It's the part, is step two. It's really step two when I ask them, like, okay, now let's gain clarity around what you just admit to yourself, right? Let's gain clarity on what you actually want for yourself. So that's step two. And so people have a hard time with gaining clarity. They have a hard time with figuring out, okay, how do I really want my health to look like? How do I really want my body to look? How do I, you know, really want my career to look like? I mean, and the reason why I'm saying career and mentioning other aspects of your life, because truth be told, every other aspect in your life affects your health.
Mm-hmm.
Like day in and day out, you can go to work, you know, at your 9 to 5, and because you're miserable, you don't feel like doing anything and you're depressed, that affects your health. That affects whether or not you decide to go to the gym in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that because I've been through that. You know what I mean? So a lot of times people do get hung up on the gaining clarity and figuring out where their issues actually stemmed from. So when you coach with me, whether it's 3 months, 6 months, or even for a year, I had a client that worked with me for a whole entire year, and we finally got her A1C level down. Wow. And she was no longer in the pre-diabetic stage after, you know, working with me. Even then, what I do, I kind of tell people, like, you can call me like your health therapist in a sense, because I literally sit there and connect the dots. Like, I literally would ask you, you know, what was going through your childhood? How did your mother impact your life? How did your father impact your life? How did other people in your life at such a young and impressionable age impact your life? And they would sit there and tell me, like, hey, you know, my dad always, you know, did this to me, or I just felt like, you know, my dad didn't have my best interest at heart, and I ended up turning to food, and all this stuff they're expressing to me. And then by the end of the conversation, I've connected the dots for them and basically told them why they're struggling right now. And while they're struggling with, you know, certain burdens that are going on in their life. And one woman, she actually started crying. She was like, wow, I never saw it that way. I never knew the reason why my health was an issue, or the reason why my health was going down the drain is because of the emotions that I have connected to my father. Mm-hmm. And because that emotion is constantly not being resolved, or I haven't forgiven my dad, I, you know, seek and look for the feeling of acceptance with food. I look at food as comfort, you know. So there's so many underlying issues. And so through my coaching program, I'm not a coach or nutrition coach that just gives you, hey, here's your nutrition plan, here's your fitness plan, this is what we're gonna do. This just go and implement it, and you know, right. I'll check in with you next month and see how it's going. I hate coaches like that. I'm sorry. I've had coaches like that, and I hate it, because you're not really digging deep and figuring out, or trying to help me figure out what's really wrong with me so that I can have lasting results versus temporary results. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I connect the dots for ladies. I connect the dots for the women that I work with, and I take their stories. I take their, you know, emotions very seriously, very seriously. And I check in with them day in and day out. I'm just not going to check in with you month to month. I'm also texting you during that time too.
Wow. That's huge.
Yeah, I'm truly invested.
And the connecting the dots thing, I mean, that's probably where I was trying to go with my, like, 500 words of nonsense prior to getting to this. It's connecting the dots, and connecting the dots is huge for a lot of people, because a lot of people can't do it on their own. And that's why we need coaches. Like, I need a coach just as much as anyone else does. I think everyone could use a coach in a different aspect, depending on what problem you're trying to solve. Yeah. And having someone help you connect the dots, especially with body stuff, with weight loss, with body positivity, all of it. Because you're right. There's too many coaches online out there who are like, yeah, here's your fitness plan. Here's your weight loss plan. See you in a month. Bye-bye.
Right.
Nothing's going to happen because, I mean, shoot, I've seen it with my patients over and over again. It's much part therapist. And I always sing the song, Pee Wee Herman song, Connect the Dots, la, 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 because it's true. We gotta have help to connect those dots. Freaking dots are crazy. And oh my goodness. So speaking of those little connecting dots, another big thing that you talk a lot about that I've seen, even on your website, is small victories. Because I think a lot of people have this idea like, I want this body and I'm going to lose this much weight and this is going to happen. And, you know, they write all of it down, like say January 1st. And they're like, yeah, that's my New Year's resolution. I'm going to have this huge thing going on and this is how it's going to go. But they didn't connect the dots. They just looked at the picture. They didn't look at like,
how am I going to get there?
Exactly.
They looked at the what I need to look like, you know? But they didn't realize the how. Mm-hmm. And most people don't know the how. And they may have tried the how, but they never succeeded because it's something that really doesn't fit them. And they're trying to fit in something that's cookie cutter that most people honestly don't stick to. They don't.
Like the whole 30. How many times? You probably see his. I'm going on the whole 30, everyone. And then 2 months later, I'm doing the whole 30 again. And you're like.
Right. Okay. And it's like, can we just eat healthy? Like, can we just adopt a more healthy lifestyle? You know, like, I don't know. Like, I just, you know, have a thing when it comes to, you know, different diets and stuff. For me, I think when it comes to really small victories, people often are like, okay, I'm going to be on this fat diet. I'm going to go on Whole 30. I'm going to go on Weight Watchers. I'm going to try this new diet that just came out online. And I'm seeing that all I got to do is eat watermelon and eggs and I'll lose this weight. You know, like they see all these different things. And then when they try it and they don't succeed, they self-sabotage. And they end up, whether they end up binge eating or depressed or whatever, because you're so disappointed in yourself that you didn't stick to this cookie cutter diet that honestly was not meant for you.
Right.
It was not meant for your lifestyle. And so the reason why I think small victories are so important, because small victories are allowed to help you see that you've come a long way and that you're making progress and that you're making steps. I'll give you an example. Someone texted me this morning and said, Farrah, I'm trying intermittent fasting. Can never say that word right, but just bear with me. I'm trying, you know, intermittent fasting or whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, at that time, like, you're not my client, but, you know, you could talk to me. You could still text me. And I'm like, all right, you know, what's your plan around that? And they're like, you know, I'm going to eat from 12 to 8. I'm going to eat between that window. I said, all right, not a problem. Then this person goes, oh, but I broke my fast in the morning. And I said, okay, well, how did you break your fast before 12? She said, I ended up eating, you know, apples with peanut butter because I broke the fast. So I didn't do so well. And automatically I said, you did just fine. And let me tell you, the reason why I said that was because I want people to understand that if you're going to try a certain diet, and I'm not opposed to diets, but I am like a diet dropout. If you're going to try a certain diet and you know this is your first week or first day or first time doing it, and automatically you said, I failed, that doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't train your mind to see that you've already made progress. Because from what I see as the coach is that you didn't fail. Yeah, you ate before 12 and you ate an apple with peanut butter before 12. But do you not remember or do you not recall you every week going to McDonald's? You know, do you not recall you going to McDonald's for breakfast or Dunkin' Donuts for breakfast every single week, probably 3 times, 4 times a week? But this week you chose to eat an apple and peanut butter instead in terms of breaking your fast. So to me, that's a small victory. Because I'm like, girl, we got you from cutting out the fast food to now eating whole foods, even though you decided to break your fast, but you still, one, had whole foods and not processed foods, and it's still breakfast. And then you can keep going from there. But automatically, she told herself that I failed. I didn't do so well. But for me, as a coach, as a person who's trying to help you, I'm like, no, you did amazing. Because look how far you've already come. Look at the progress. So no, it wasn't her losing 10 pounds, 20 pounds as a victory. No, it was her simply switching out her food items and for her to see that you're actually great. You're actually doing something. You're actually making progress. So don't downplay, you know, don't downplay your victory. I don't care if it's something simple as you lost 1 inch off your waist. Don't downplay that victory. I don't care if it's as simple as your jeans are a little looser today and you feel more confident in them because you're not sitting there bloated at your desk feeling like you're about to pop out of them. And I'm saying all this stuff because I've been there, okay? I've been there, and I think that's what's most important is when, you know, you actually can fit your underwear. Okay. Like it's true. Like let's just be real. Let's just put it out there. It's true. So for me, those are considered small victories. So embrace them. Don't downplay them. Take it for what it is and know that you have another day to make it right, to reach your goal. And don't rush the process. This is a process because eventually you want your mind and brain to be trained to a point where even when you do fall off, you know exactly what to do to get back on, because you constantly always make your health a priority because you're constantly always thinking about your health. You're constantly, you know, trying to get better. So it's going to become a point where diet is no longer part of your language. You're just like, this is my lifestyle. And when I do fall off, I know exactly what to do to get back on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, that poor gal. I can't believe I'm in an apple with peanut butter. Oh my God. What? That's good. That's really good.
Hello. I'm like, girl, I had an apple with peanut butter today with a little bit of egg whites this morning. As I was like going out the house, I'm like, you had a great, for the most part, you had a great breakfast, very light, gets you through, you know, 2 to 3 hours if you want a little snack. I'm like, girl, you had a good protein, carb, you had a little good sugar. Like, you know, like.
And that's so common, though. People will be like, I didn't do it right. And then it's like, I give up. Then tomorrow, it's like everything hits the fan. Because, you know, oh my gosh, I didn't do it right. It's like, man. Oh, geez. So let's talk a little bit about your corporate wellness stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that online and was super intrigued by that too.
Yeah.
You're talking about working in schools. You're talking about working one-on-one with people, but you know, I find a lot of the executives out there are the folks that need the help the most because they're focused so much on work and traveling and busy that, you know, half the time I hear from a lot of folks, they're skipping meals, they're eating out a lot because they're traveling, they can't make anything where they're staying. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your corporate wellness program.
So corporate wellness for me, I was kind of hesitant to even start, you know, the corporate wellness, but the more that I'm in schools, and the more that I speak to, you know, employees or coworkers that I may know, I'm starting to realize that corporate wellness is actually very, very important. It's great for retention, for one, because a lot of times, especially a lot of millennials that are entering the workforce, they want flexibility, right? They want this flexibility. They want to be seen, you know, as value. They want their company to give them certain perks and things like that. And I think what's most important is that you incorporate a health and wellness system for your employees so that, for one, the retention can be there. They feel as though you actually care about their well-being, their work, like their work-life balance. They actually think you care about that as well. And two, most importantly, for a lot of companies, it all comes down to their bottom line. So what you find is that the reason why, you know, health insurance agencies are charging companies out the behind for health insurance for their employees is because a lot of their employees may be already suffering or dealing with certain chronic illnesses and certain health issues. And so the thing is, if I can come in as a nutrition coach, as a, you know, exercise nutrition coach, and help you and your employees kind of clean up your act when it comes to health and wellness and body positivity and really making your health a priority and your company and the company is making their workers' health a priority, then their bottom line will actually end up also increasing because they're not paying so much to the health insurance companies because they have plans that's implemented for their employees to follow when it comes to their health. So it's a two-way street when it comes to corporate wellness. So this year, one of my goals is to definitely, most definitely, pitch around 6 to 10 different companies and tell them exactly what it is that I offer when it comes to corporate wellness, and see if I can also help them increase their retention and also increase their bottom line.
That's huge. Folks out there, if you're listening and you have a corporation or you know some corporations that you may be able to give a shout out for Farah, please do.
Yes, please. Please hit me up.
we need more folks out there who are going to be teaching, you know, a realistic approach.
Yeah.
I'm sure you see it as much as me, all the selfies online with the booty sticking out and like really sucking in super like exaggerated bodies online. And I think a lot of people are seeing all that and going, that's what I have to look like. That's what I have to achieve. And then we end up with this weird twisted thought of what we need to be. And just, you know, to sum up everything we've talked about today, it's so huge to realize that you are your own unique self.
Yes.
You have your own unique body and you're not going to look like the next person next door. There's no way in hell I'm going to look like Beyonce ever to save my life.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
I don't have her genetics. I'm completely, we are completely unique, different individuals.
Correct.
How hard is it for you with some of your coaching folks to convince them of that? Because I struggle like you wouldn't believe. Because people will be like, this is, it's almost like a haircut, right?
Right.
They come in with the magazine and they're like, I want to look like this. Mm-hmm. And you're like, if I was a hairdresser, I could cut your hair like that.
Right.
Unless I'm not. Right. I'm not good at that. But
right.
Like, what? So how often, like in your group that you work with, how often you seen that?
Yeah. So I remember one time there was I was sitting in a sauna. After I did my workout, I like to sit in the sauna for like a good 20, 30 minutes. I could sit in there all day. Well, I'll pass out if I did, but.
Let me tell you about hot yoga.
Right. I remember sitting there and a woman next to me was like, did you see Kevin Hart's wife? Did you see Kevin Hart's wife after she had, you know, her baby? Like, did you see her body after she had her son? Like, her waist, her snapback was amazing. Like, oh my gosh, I want my body to look like that. I need my body to look like that. So my response to her was, okay, Kevin Hart wife, she is beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. But then my response to her was, but do you know her body type? I was like, do you know she's an endomorph, ectomorph, mesomorph? Because right now, looking at you, I know that you're an endomorph, but most definitely looking at her body type, she's an ectomorph. So, you know, she also probably, too, has nutritionists on standby, fitness trainers on standby, and she can afford trainers, personal trainers and personal nutritionists to keep her right throughout her pregnancy. Also, do you know her genetic makeup? Do you know her background, where she's from? Okay. So I say all these things because a lot of times when we're constantly comparing ourselves to the other women on social media, we do not know their health status. We don't know their family's history when it comes to their health. We don't know their genetic makeup. We don't even know their particular body type. I mean, something as knowing your body type will change your perspective on why you shouldn't compare yourself to the woman that you see on social media or even the woman that you see walking by you. So I could see a woman on social media and she could be slim, really curvy, but her waist is pretty slim. And I could say, dang, like I want her waist. I need to look like this. I need to look like that. But then for all you know, she's an ectomorph who can burn fat like this, who metabolism is just out of this world. And she personally has a hard time storing fat, and she might herself want to lose weight. I mean, want to gain weight. Sorry. She herself might want to actually gain weight. Mm-hmm. But you're sitting there admiring her, wanting her body, when honestly, she's probably looking at you wanting your body.
Right, right. Or your hair. Or
your hair. Or whatever it is. Or your lips, your eyes, your nose, whatever it is. So this is why I constantly say to women, like, don't bring a photo to me saying I want to look like this person. Or, you know, I see this girl on social media. Why does she look like that? And why don't I? It all goes back to, one, you don't know her body type. Two, you don't know her genetic makeup. Three, you don't know her family history when it comes to health. And four, that same woman that you're admiring is admiring another woman just like you, if not you. So stop comparing yourself. Just stop. And we're just going to focus on you being a badass. And that's that.
I love it. I love it. Where can folks learn more about body types, like the ectomorph, endomorph, mesomorph? Because I think a lot of people might have heard those words, but don't know 100% what they all mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So honestly, research. I mean, I've studied it, but when I became certified, but honestly, it all comes down to research. There are plenty of quizzes out there that you can take online that actually tells you what your body type is. But something as simple as being an ectomorph basically means that your metabolism is really high, meaning when you consume food, you can burn it and you do not gain weight easily. It's actually hard for you to gain weight. Most ectomorphs are, you know, they struggle to gain weight, and a lot of times they take a lot of their energy from carbs. They use a lot of their energy and stuff from carbs because as soon as they eat those carbs and they might go work out, those carbs are already, you know, burning out, and they're using that as energy. They have to use it as energy. A mesomorph is someone that's in between. So a mesomorph is kind of like when you see like very stocky, very, you know, cut people, probably like a very curvaceous woman, but she may even be a little muscular too. She's in between, like she's in between that endomorph and ectomorph. That is mainly her body type. And she also can consume carbs, but she needs more protein when it all comes down to it. So her metabolism isn't as fast as someone who's just running off of carbs as energy. Now an endomorph, which most women, think they are. And for me personally, I'm an endomorph. I gain weight very easily. I can eat great for a whole week. I can be working out for a whole week. I might be even down a pound or two because I've been working out and eating right for a whole week. But as soon as I have like a cheat meal or may overdo it, I'm already up the following 2 to 3 days following. And that's because I am sensitive to weight gain. So therefore, because my metabolism isn't as high, I have to eat more meals that are high in protein to end up reaching my weight loss goals or just sometimes to even maintain my weight. So I hope I was able to explain those three different body types in you know, very simple, very straightforward, so that you can understand and figure out what's your body type. Because once again, like I said, if we understood the three different body types and then we can understand what our body type is, the constant comparison, I think, will also stop. And then you will figure out how to better yourself based on your body type and what you're dealing with currently.
Absolutely. Get to know yourself, you alone, get to know what your body's all about. And then from there, you can build and figure it out. Don't be trying to compare yourself to people.
Yes.
Huge. So speaking of that, I love that you have a whole set of clothing that represents body positivity. Will you lean back? Because I want you folks to see your shirt, because I'm going to put this on. I want folks to see. Yeah, you're on. Yeah. It says it's the curvy one, right?
Yeah, it's curvy. So it says C for confident, U for undefeated, R for radiant, V for valuable, and Y for youthful. So basically, I do have a whole line of like body positivity, curvy girl, you know, t-shirts, sweaters, and hoodies. And the sayings really come from a place where it's that constant reminder to like stay positive, stay healthy, stay whole. You can do this. You're not forgotten. I'm here for you. There is a community for us. And yeah, so this is just one of the sayings. I have another saying that says, sis, you better not give up, because a lot of times we feel like giving up and throwing in the towel, but it's like, no, you got to keep going. So that saying is one. Another one that people, a lot of women do love is, my weight doesn't define me. You can find the definition in my curves. Mm-hmm. So that's just a play on words, but women like it, because once again, it's all about not necessarily paying attention to the number on a scale, but it's really learning how to live your life green. And another popular one is, I am curvilicious. So it's, again, that constant reminder that, hey, being curvy isn't a bad thing. Being healthy and thick isn't a bad thing. Some women do call themselves fat. So look, I'm here for it. Being fat and healthy isn't a bad thing, because once again, it's not necessarily about what you look like always on the outside. It's what's going on internally. So we can get your internal organs on the right track, then I know I did my job.
Absolutely. I don't think I could have said that any better. So folks, you got to go find Farah online. She is at Thick, Bold, and Healthy. That's so we've got the tbhlife.com, which is her main website. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's where you can find your book.
That's where you can find my book. You can find my book. You can find the merchandise there. You can find programs. Basically, you can understand what Thick, Bold, and Healthy, the movement, is all about. And then the Body of Gold podcast, that's on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And yeah, on social media, Thick, Bold, and Healthy, or at Farah M. Green _. You can just find me at Farah M. Green. And yeah, I pop right up on Instagram. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
You guys got to go check her out. So before you leave, I want you to give folks one thing that they can take away and get started with today to make some progress in getting to know themselves better and working towards body positivity.
That is a really good question. One takeaway.
Three. It's cool.
My takeaway would be, from today's conversation overall, we're in a new year, we're in a new decade. It's still January 2020, like we're still in the beginning of the year. And so this year, what I encourage every woman out there to really focus and truly focus on is figuring out some of the things that you love to do that feeds your soul. And when I say that, I mean that by looking at hobbies that you love, whether, you know, you want to start running, whether you want to start weightlifting, boxing, knitting, whatever it is, do something that feeds your soul. Because when you do the things that feed your soul and you do the things that you love, that's when you are automatically making yourself a priority. And then if it's something especially related to health that feeds your soul and that you love, you're definitely making yourself a priority and you're making your health first and you're putting your health first. So with that being said, because you're doing something that you love to do and it relates to health and you're making your health a priority, that self-love will automatically come. So I'll always say body positivity plus health equals self-love.
There you go, folks. That's your health fix for today. Thank you, Farah, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Subscribe, rate, and share info.